Well, good afternoon, everyone. A very warm welcome to our church for this very special occasion when we give thanks to God for the Lord's mercy to us over the past 40 years in sustaining a ministry here from our pastor. Just a reminder before we start, if you have mobile phones, please make sure they're switched to silent so we don't get disturbed during the meeting. Now, it's a special occasion for the church, and of course it's a special occasion for the Rowcroft family as well, who are very much actively involved. And we're going to thank Gary's younger son, Lee, for taking part today in leading the meeting. And then Carolyn, with the help of others, in organising the tea. So once we've been fed spiritually, we'll also be able to go through and enjoy the tea afterwards. It is an occasion when we have three generations from one family preaching. Gary will preach this afternoon, and his son Mark will preach tomorrow morning at the 11 o'clock service, and his grandson Luke will preach tomorrow evening at the 6 o'clock service. So if you're free and able to come, you're most welcome to come to all of these services. Now, you have an order of service, and you will notice as you go through it that it covers the three services. So if you're just here for today, you're very welcome to take your copy home with you. If you're planning to come back tomorrow, then please remember either to leave the order of service and pick another up in the morning, or remember to bring it back so we don't have to print too many more to cover any that we are short of. Now, one other piece of logistics, the buffet. After the service, the buffet will be is laid out in the hall through there. I will suggest that the people on my right, on this side of church, go first, and then once the queue has dwindled, the people on this side. There are some seats and tables through there. We will also put seats and tables out here in the church as well, or you can sit in the pews if there aren't enough spaces, and there won't be in the hall on its own. There will be just a sort of brief delay of us to get organised, and we'll call you through when they're ready. So for now, we'll leave it there and hand over to Lee to lead the service, and then we'll sort of guide and direct at the end of the service when we're ready for the tea. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Roger. It's a joy to be here. It's a joy to come and to give thanks to God for his goodness to this fellowship of God's people over the last 40 years, and to give thanks for his goodness to my parents as well during that same time period. So thank you for joining with us. It's good to see some familiar faces, some faces that have maybe changed a little bit since I last saw them, but it's good to see you all here. We're going to begin by singing to God's praise. The first hymn in your booklet, a glorious hymn of praise. My song is love unknown, my Saviour's love to me, love to the loveless shown, that they might lovely be. Let's stand and sing together.
Love to me, love to the loveless, show that they might.
I'm going to ask Val Howell, a long-time family friend, to come and pray to God. Thank you, Val.
I have asked the pastor for permission to mention a personal word. We appreciate your thoughts and your fellowship as a church here at Maryport. You stood with our family at a very, very difficult time. Our darling granddaughter named Neve was born with a serious condition, and within a number of days she could have died. Taken to Great Ormond Street Hospital, they performed surgery, major surgery, and but now she is 11 years of age. A year or so ago, a mother tried to take her swimming. She didn't like the water on her face. And they've taken her to Mallorca. You've all been there, haven't you? Yeah. It's just down the road, isn't it? And Neve, they've got her. She's now swimming. And lo and behold, they've got a camera under the water, and she's coming swimming towards us with her goggles on and smiling lovely. An example, an expression of our thanks to you who prayed with us. The day's a lovely day, and it was 40 years ago, wasn't it? It was sunny like this, and it's good to be here. Many of those friends are with the Lord in glory, as we all know. But our friendship has continued over these years, and we are occasionally in touch with each other, phoning and what have you. And we've appreciated all of that. Now, I've thought about this. You may think I'm going over the top. Okay. You may think I'm taking it too serious. I don't think so. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing it. I just want to read a prayer of Moses, just two verses. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And this prayer I've worked at, thought about, encapsulates a development from that thought. So let's pray together. We humble ourselves before your word. It brings a fresh sense of the majesty, the eternity of you, our God. There is no place for pretense. You have been the dwelling place in all your people from time everlasting. We thank you that the ancients of the people of God addressed you and knew you in your covenant promise as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And to this day, in this place, and throughout the world. Especially we hear of places in Indonesia where the work of the gospel is still being spread. And you are the dwelling place of your people there, everywhere they are. Our Lord Jesus Christ told us that we, through him and in him, understand that you are our God, as his God. You are our Father, as his Father. And that has been the way the people of Christ have known and thought and believed for these past ages. And now, Lord, we are here in this situation. And what we're seeking to do at this moment is just to see the ongoing spread and range of the mighty working of God in history and in the world, and how close you are to your people all of those times. And we especially recognize the favor and the blessing that you have bestowed upon Maryport. For to have a church in a community of people, they have not been without the word of God. They have been urged and are still being to seek the Lord. And this house has known believers who have been wayward, and they have been challenged by your truth. And there have been times when weak believers you have encouraged and strengthened them in the Christian life. And we ask you now, O Lord, to express towards us in this hour a fresh awareness of you being our God. As we sing, as we pray quietly, personally, as we think, may our attitude be, we're meeting with God. May this anniversary, therefore, be a thankfulness for the past and a rededication for the future. Bless all your servants. We thank you for this family, for the steadfastness, for the faithfulness, and we pray, O Lord, that there will still be, O Lord, we ask you that there will still be a freshness and a newness and a livingness in the word of God that is preached and sung and read. Now, O Lord, we honor you in the mystery of your being. You are the one true living God. And in that you are Father, Son, and Spirit. We marvel at your union as God. We also acknowledge the union of he who is at your right hand, who is the eternal Son. But now he is God the Son incarnate at your right hand. And also we marvel at the union that all believers have, that union with Christ. Just, Lord, it's beyond us. The greatness of, shall we use the phrase, the umbrella of glory and greatness that overshadows the Church of God and the people of Christ. So grant your blessing, we pray. We do recognize some friends cannot be here for various reasons, would have wanted to join in this fellowship. And we commend them to you where they are in their needs and ask for your help upon them. Help us as we sing. We thank you for the sound of singing the praises of God as we've just enjoyed. Lead us on, O Lord, we ask, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Well, as Val has just prayed, it's a great thing to be able to sing praise to God, and we're going to thank God for his great love to us in this next hymn. It passes knowledge, that dear love of thine, my Jesus Saviour, yet this soul of mine would have thy love in all its breadth and length, its height and depth, its everlasting strength, no more and more. Let's stand again and sing to God's praise. Going to read from the Bible, from the book of Ephesians, as Paul writes to those in Ephesus. So Ephesians chapter 3, if you could turn there if you have a Bible with you, and we're going to be reading from verse 14. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 is where we're going to begin. Let's hear the word of God. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. If you just turn over a couple of pages in your Bible to chapter 6 of Ephesians, and we're just going to read the final two verses. Ephesians 6, verse 23. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Well, as Val prayed, there are some people who would love to be here today and aren't able to be for different reasons, some due to distance, some due to personal circumstances or health. And I've been asked to share some of the greetings from some of those people with you this afternoon. Now, that number of greetings has increased rapidly. Even last night, I was sent a couple of extras. So please bear with me, but I'm going to share with you some of these greetings. And for those who are regulars here, I'm sure all of the names that I'm going to mention are familiar to you. So the first greeting is from Crian and Pauline, who live in Eindhoven in the Netherlands. And they came to Maryport for holidays for 6 to 8 weeks for over 30 years. I remember them often being here as a boy when we used to come, and they would have long, I used to think they have long holidays. And they were here for long holidays for a number of years, and they used to attend the church here while on their vacation. So this is their message, their greeting. Dear Gary and Jean, you are 40 years working for the Lord in Maryport. Nehemiah chapter 2 verse 18 says, I told them of the hand of my God which had been upon me. At the end of Nehemiah's work for the Lord, the enemies say, yes, this work was done by God. We think you can both say the same words, Gary and Jean. It is by God's assistance every day. With love from us both, Crian and Pauline. And then the second one is from Leon and Irene, who are in Greece. Irene was the first person that the pastor baptized here, and they were the first couple he married here. And the church here has supported them as Leon has pastored churches in different locations in Greece. And this is their message. Dear Gary and Jean, we want to send you our very best wishes on your completion of 40 years of faithful ministry in the church in Maryport. You've been a great blessing to the church, and we too want to thank you for all of your support and encouragement for us over the years in our work in Greece, which has always been a source of strength to us. Both of you mean a great deal to us, Leon and Irene. The third one is someone I don't know, but I know that the people here do, and that is David Koziol, pastor in Poland, who the church here has supported. His message is a little bit longer, but I'm going to read this to you. Dear brothers and sisters from Trinity Baptist Church, Maryport, 1 Corinthians 4 verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ on this special day as you celebrate 40 years of service of your pastor, Reverend Gary Rowcroft. I consider myself privileged to have known your congregation as well as your pastor and his wife Jean personally. I remember well when I first visited your church over 20 years ago. I was impressed by your kindness, long history, commitment to the world's mission, and your faithfulness. It was at that time when I first met Reverend Gary. Later, over the next 20 years, I had the privilege of visiting your fellowship several times. Your pastor has been among you, and I admire his faithfulness and dedication to God's service. What a grace that Pastor Gary has been faithfully preaching the Word of God, the Gospel of Grace, in which in the center stands the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I am fully confident that, like me, you too appreciate your pastor's faithful service and his passion for the Word and the doctrines of grace. I believe that the church today needs such men of God who, despite challenges and adversities, sometimes seeing little fruit for their service, constantly guard the word and stand in the truth. We need such pastors, and I think that Pastor Gary's example of life is an inspiration not only for the next generation of Rowcrofts, but for many who know his ministry. We also need faithful pastors' wives who stand alongside their husbands, sometimes somewhat in the shadows, carrying the burden of ministry and supporting their husbands faithfully as Jean has done. Dear Pastor Gary, for many years you have testified with your preached words and life about the grace and holiness of God and about his great salvation. You have been and are an encouragement and example to many. Thanking the Lord for your service, I pray God will continue to bless and support you. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ guide you in your continued service and strengthen you in your life of ministry. David. The next one is from Laura Sanlon, who is now in Northern Ireland, a missionary again that the church has supported while she was working in Spain and in Kenya. And she now lives in Belfast and continues serving the Lord there. And Laura has written this. I'm so sorry I can't make it to join in the celebrations of your 40 years of ministry at Maryport Baptist Church. My thoughts and prayers are with you as you celebrate together with the church family, your family, and with friends and colleagues. It's incredible to think you've served for 40 years at the church. What incredible faithfulness, what incredible memories. It must be amazing as you reflect on so many years in one place and one church and remember the people you have pastored and served and the hours dedicated to sermon and study preparation and also to pastoral care. God has been good to you both, and good health is always a blessing that enables us to serve well. Thankfully, you have both been blessed with relatively good health during these past years. I pray as you celebrate these 40 years that you'll be blessed and encouraged in your heart and soul. May I take the opportunity to thank you for your faithful support and prayers for me, and no doubt many other missionary partners during the years. I remember we met through our dear friend Maisie Smith in either 1988 or 89, just before I left for Spain. I never imagined back then we'd still be in contact 35 years later. Thank you for your friendship, for your fun, for your fellowship. I've been blessed to have you in my life and support me through all my ministry until today. May the Lord bless you in whatever lies ahead now after celebrating these 40 years of ministry. I am sure the Lord himself will say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. Matthew 25, verse 1. And just a couple of others, sort of hot off the press, if you like, that came through last night. So one here is from John Mollett, former pastor of Ingleton Church, and I believe he's here next weekend, so you'll see him, God willing, then. He says, Pat and I very much regret not being with you on this special occasion. We would have been, were it not for the fact that we are with you next Sunday, and it would have meant making a long journey twice in 2 weeks. In an era when pastorates often seem to be short, we thank God for Gary's long and faithful ministry. With the passing of the years, a pastor can become spiritually dry. But the Lord has kept Gary fresh and fervent throughout his 40 years of ministry. We can say this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvellous in our eyes. I am convinced the benefits of a long pastorate far outweigh those of a short one. It demonstrates a commitment to the people, a love for the people in an ever-changing world, a stability which can only be surely for the spiritual well-being of the people. Forgive me a personal recollection. On the 5th of June 1993, Gary spoke at our Bible convention at Ingleton Evangelical Church. To my shame, I cannot remember what Gary preached on, but I do remember how excited he was because the previous day he'd been at Old Trafford for the test match against Australia and he'd seen Shane Warne dismiss Mike Gatting in what later became known as the ball of the century. Can I actually say I was there as well? I remember that occasion very vividly. Does Gary remember what he preached on that day? I'm not going to ask him now, but maybe that's a question for him later on. This is Gary's day, but I would also pay tribute to deacons Keith Mossop and Roger Nash. A pastor needs the support of faithful church officers, and I'm sure Gary will agree he has been well served by them too. May the Lord richly bless Gary, Jean, his family and the church at Maryport throughout this weekend, John and Pat Mollett. And then finally, a message from David White, a former pastor of North Preston Evangelical Church. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Betty and I have been looking forward to being with you today on this highly significant and auspicious occasion. But since Betty only came out of hospital yesterday afternoon after her second hip replacement surgery this year, we obviously can't travel. And I don't think I could have left her just now. However, we would like to add our warmest gratitude and recognition of the Lord's amazing kindness to all that may be said today. To be blessed with a long and faithful ministry is a rare gift of Christ to this church in these days of short-termism in the pastorate. Gary and I go back a long way to the days of us both serving on the Liverpool Youth for Christ Subcommittee Central Hall on Merseyside. We vividly recall being present to witness a special presentation of a book or something similar to Gary when he was about to set off for BTI, Bible Training Institute in Glasgow, to study and prepare for the ministry. Betty and I recall being present at A.C. Mitchell Memorial City Mission Church in Liverpool while I was into my second pastorate on Merseyside at Norris Green Baptist Church in around 1980. Then, following his call to the pastorate of Trinity Baptist Church in Maryport, Cumbria, we had the joy of meeting up at the Banner of Truth Ministers' Conferences and the annual London School of Theology, at the Metropolitan Tabernacle. There followed many privileged opportunities to share pastoral concerns and for me to preach from time to time to the dear folks there at Maryport, many of whom I count as my very dear friends. How blessed the fellowship has been that has enjoyed the faithful service of Gary and his supportive wife for such a long time. They have been committed to serving the Lord, and we can only pray that the great head of the church will yet again raise up godly men to shepherd his flock in these needy days. A godly pastor's wife is indispensable to such a ministry. So many ministers' wives fail to follow Sarah's example of being a helper to Abraham and would rather follow their own career, but we thank God for Jean's faithfulness. Gary and I were both called by the Lord into ministry at a time when two services on the Lord's Day and the midweek meeting for prayer and a Bible study, as well as regularly visiting and praying for the flock, were the bare minimum expected of a pastor. Sadly, some of these things have changed. To prepare daily, though, and week after week, by reliance on the Lord for biblical food and spiritual help, are the disciplines in which pastors are expected, surely, to be exercised. Whatever the future may be for Gary and Jean, or for the Fellowship of Trinity, our prayer is that you may remember your leaders, those who have spoken to you the word of God. Consider the example of their way of life. Imitate their faith in Christ Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:7-8. May such spiritual leadership and godly example mark and sustain every Bible-believing congregation in the future. May the wise advice of Reverend C.H. Spurgeon be blessed to all the preachers and pastors of a new generation to just speak a good word for Jesus Christ. For you, Gary, the greatest honour we receive from the Saviour will be to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and busy, inventive, successful, faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Yours in the service of the King, David and Betty White. So thank God for those messages and for those who have been friends with the people here and with Gary and Jean for a number of years. We're now going to sing again to God's praise, really a prayer that our lives would be dedicated. Again, Val prayed earlier that this might be a time when we rededicate ourselves to the service of God. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let's stand and sing together.
I'm going to do things in reverse order. I'm going to do the comments first and then add a few more greetings. It's not often that a church has the privilege of sitting under the ministry of a pastor for 40 years. And we have much to thank God for providing us with a man of his choosing to shepherd the flock here for four decades. It's also a rare event for God to raise up three consecutive generations of preacher. Yet we have that in Gary, Mark and Luke. Gary previously ministered, as has already been mentioned, at A.C. Mitchell Church in Liverpool before coming here to serve the Lord. When he answered the call to come with a view to Maryport, he had to find where we were on the map, an experience I can empathize with some 10 or so years earlier when I had to look on the map to find where Cumbria was. Mark was brought up in the church here, and it's been a real joy to see him grow in the things of the Lord, and we look forward to his ministry tomorrow. He now serves the Lord as pastor of Geneva Road Church in Darlington, and prior to that at Deeside Evangelical Church. Luke has fewer ties with us because he was brought up in Darlington, of course, but we have seen him on numerous occasions. Now, he's been sensible. He went to university in Wales, went to Cardiff, and there he also met with the church at Heath, a church that I've known also for many years. And after graduation, he has completed an internship at that church. And even more sensibly, he's now enrolled with the Evangelical Movements of Wales College in South Wales. So we do wish you well in that, Luke, and pray that the Lord would use you as he has used your father and grandfather before you. Well, I'm sure that we're looking forward to the ministry this weekend, but also appreciate the privilege of experiencing two rare events at the same time. I personally am not aware of a pastor celebrating 40 years ministry in one church and having his son and grandson along with himself preaching at the Thanksgiving weekend. Well, Gary first came to preach in Maryport in October 1983, and that was followed by further visits prior to a unanimous call in early 1984. Now, leaving the city life in Liverpool to serve God in this remote corner of the country must have been a challenge and a culture shock. One of my colleagues at work once described Cumbria as being the forgotten bit between Scotland and the north of England. When Gary commenced his ministry, we were all a bit younger, but there are six of us that remain who belonged to the church when Gary was called. And over the years, God has been good to both Gary and his flock. Now, to do justice to four decades of service together as church and pastor would take a long time. And I'm sure you'll be waiting your tea if I try to cover everything in that period. So I'll just very briefly pick on a few headlines that I appreciate. At Gary's induction, on a glorious summer's day, as Val mentioned there in July 1984, Pastor Val Howell gave the charge to the minister and Pastor Gareth Crossley gave the charge to the church. And I just want to draw out a few points of what Val mentioned in his sermon from 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 following. He highlighted regarding the demands of the ministry, reminded the pastor, the need to be a man of God, that the work needs to be done with continuity, constancy, concern, care, and with completeness, that the need of the hour is sound doctrine, that there must be a concern for the lost, and of the requirement to exalt God, reminding us that God should be everything to God's people. In all these aspects, over the 40 years, Gary has both excelled and he's encouraged the church in his care to do the same. When Gary commenced his ministry here, Elizabeth and I had a discussion about, what did Gary preach on when he started? And I said, I'm sure he preached from Nehemiah. And Elizabeth said, no, I'm sure he preached from Mark. Well, on one of these rare occasions, both of us were right, because he preached a series from Mark's Gospel and from on the Sunday. He also did, I believe it was Philippians on the Sunday, and then Nehemiah midweek. But both Mark and Nehemiah are appropriate books when you begin a ministry in the church. Mark's Gospel focuses on Jesus, the Son of God. He is to be central in the life of the believer, and Gary's ministry has consistently exalted Jesus to the congregation. Nehemiah was commissioned by God to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down. It is, as it were, a picture of the society in which we live. An illustration of our land today, broken by sin. And there remains that need for the spiritual rebuilding in Britain today. A milestone event in the life of the church took place in 2007 when we were able to celebrate our bicentenary. David Griffiths, our former pastor, and Mark Rowcroft preached at the anniversary weekend, and we thanked God for sustaining the ministry and the church here over two centuries. And when we look back over the history of the fellowship, we realize that Gary is now our longest serving pastor, exceeding that of Daniel Kirkbride, who ministered for 30 years, and David Griffiths for 14. Under Gary's ministry, the church has continued to hold a high view of the scriptures, these being the inspired and inerrant word of God. And one memorable series of sermons took us week by week through the entire Bible, each sermon giving an overview of a book in the Bible. For those who missed that series, I would recommend listening to the recordings. And I would say, Gary, that series would lend itself to be compiled into a book. But I'm sure that's something you've thought about in the past. Our support for missionaries, during Gary's time, three men from the church have become ministers. His son Mark and James Day both grew up in the church, and Peter Walkinshaw was in fellowship with us when he was called to go to Bible college. Sadly, neither James nor Peter can make it today, but they do remember us, and we pray for them. Our support for missionaries also has continued, and it has been a joy to hear of the Lord's people and of his work in other lands, and to support those work prayerfully and financially over many years. As Lee has already mentioned, one lady from our church, Irene, married a Greek pastor, Leon Kalaros, and that was indeed the first wedding Gary conducted in this church. Now, our church has had close ties with churches in Europe via EMF and in Moldova via Breadline. And many pastors from those countries have visited us here, and some from here have been to visit them as well. Now, the war between Russia and Ukraine is very much on the doorstep of people we know and support. Both Pastor Slavik Duman from Moldova and David Koziol from Poland, among others, have been actively supporting the refugees from the neighbouring land of Ukraine. And it's also good to see Sue Trudeau with us, who also has been one that we have supported over the years. When the COVID pandemic struck, with the disruptions to normal life, Gary, along with the church, looked at how to sustain the ministry and to support one another. Gary, in particular, phoned everyone in the fellowship most weeks and ensured that sermons were uploaded to the church website every week. And that concern extended well beyond our own church. Every week, an email was sent to over 80 addresses, providing an easy link to access the sermons, and much positive feedback was received from individuals and churches. And we continue to provide access to recent sermons via the church website and Facebook page. Now, the work of the pastor is often unseen and unrecognised, with some thinking that it just entails delivering a sermon a few times in a week. Preaching is a great responsibility, and it takes time to prepare the message, and we need God sustaining to be able to do that. But the pastoral side is equally important. Gary has always been there to support people at times of need, both within the church and beyond. To know at a time of personal crisis that you can share the burden with the pastor and know that you will be supported practically and prayerfully is indeed a great blessing. We can thank God that Gary has been both a faithful preacher and a faithful pastor. Well, what of the future? God has been good to us for 40 years, and Gary has probably delivered, I would say, around about 6,000 sermons and messages in that time. Well, we look forward to the next 40 years, but suspect that God will have other plans. What we can say is that in God's providence, he builds his church, and that he calls young and old to follow him. Our desire and longing is that God would work mightily in our midst and bring salvation to the people of Maryport and the surrounding towns and villages. We thank God for calling Gary to minister here and for enabling him to answer that call so faithfully and for so long. Now, as a token of our appreciation as a church, we have gifts for Gary and Jean, and I'll ask my fellow deacon, Keith, to pass these to Gary. Now, we have a few more greetings to get through. Hopefully, they're not quite as long, but one or two have been sharing their thoughts along the way. So bear with us for just a few moments longer. First of all, from Andy and Janice McLeod, they live in Tennessee, but for a brief while they were over in this country whilst Andy worked in this area, and they became part of our church. And they just have sent a very brief message. Oh, how we wish to be part of the celebration, and may your celebration be blessed. Kathy Saul, who lives now in Lichfield, used to live in Maryport, and I'm sure many people here would know Kathy. And she writes, I'm so sorry that I'm not able to be there, but I would like to say how welcome you all made me feel at the coffee mornings, lunches and special events, and how much I enjoy them. Thank you so very much. My best wishes to you, Gary and Jean, and your family. Then Donald Day, who used to be a member and a deacon here, he now lives in Kendal, and he writes, Greetings in our Lord Jesus Christ to the Christians who meet at Trinity Baptist Church. I am glad to recall my joy at Pastor Gary's acceptance of the call to the ministry of the word at Trinity 40 years ago. The church had had 3 years of a vacancy in the pastorate. Prior to the call, Rona and I were happy to have the family stay with us, and we discovered we had much in common in terms of our theological understanding of the scriptures and our sincere desire to see conversions by the grace of God through the faithful preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Certainly those years of your ministry, Gary, were a blessing to many of us. Prior to my own retirement as a deacon, I remember well, again, with thankfulness, the first 20 years of your ministry when I was able to serve alongside you. Our close fellowship and sharing in prayer together over those years was a privilege. Your personal kindness and pastoral care over my health difficulties is still much appreciated. Gary, I believe your pastoral care and visitation over 40 years has been a significant gift given you by the Lord. Thank you for exercising it so well. Although I have not been able to join you today, please rest assured the present and future work of Trinity remains very much in my heart and my prayers. And then David Griffiths, our former pastor, he now lives in Penclouth near Swansea. I want to add my congratulations in the celebrations for the many years of ministry by Gary in the church. He has faithfully ministered the word of God to the people, and the congregation has faithfully supported Gary, his wife Jean, and the family. The pastor and the people have enjoyed the blessing of God as together they have served the Lord. In 1 Chronicles 4:23, we read of people serving the King, and that is what the pastor and people have been doing in Trinity. We believe with the King, so we live with the King and live for the King. It is our privilege to serve him. May the Lord bless you on the weekend of this special anniversary and in the days to come. Many have faithfully served the Lord in Trinity in past years, and our prayer is that his blessings may continue to be known and enjoyed in the future. Psalm 47 reminds us God is a king, and we are to sing praises to him. Every blessing, David Griffiths and the family. And then James Day, who now pastors at Ingleton, my apologies that Lou and I can't be with you and the rest of the church this weekend, as thanks is given to God for your ministry over the last 40 years. Even though I was only 5 when you took up the pastorate here, I do remember the Rowcroft family arriving in Maryport in 1984. I recall owning a Liverpool shirt at the time, but under the Rowcroft influence, that was soon replaced with an Everton shirt. 40 years later, I'm far from sure whether to be thankful for that or not. I am, however, thankful to God for your evident love for Jesus and his people over the last four decades, your commitment to prayerfully pastoring the church and teaching God's people God's word has had a formative influence on myself. Thank you also for the opportunities you gave me in my 20s to preach in the church and for your support when I then followed the call into pastoral ministry. The whole church's prayerful and financial support through my training was hugely appreciated. I have a memory of you saying, "Isn't it grand to be a Christian?" It certainly is. May you, Jean, and the rest of the fellowship of the at Trinity know God's abundant blessing in Christ this weekend as you give thanks for his faithfulness in 40 years of ministry. And finally, Pastor Slavik Duman in Moldova. Now, he has sent us a certificate of appreciation from the Danku Baptist Church and Tabitha Association. "Dear Brother Gary and all my dear brothers and sisters in Trinity Baptist Church, what a joy it is for me to write and join you all in celebrating Gary's 40th year as a pastor of your church. This is a wonderful achievement, Gary. Compared to you, I feel I have just started. As I am writing, I remember how my dear wife Anna has been such a big help to me in my time as a pastor. So also, we give big thanks and respect to Jean for being such a special wife and support for Brother Gary. I know you will join me in giving thanks to the Lord for the wonderful gift it is to have our wives working together with us in ministry. I also thank and praise God for the way he brought our fellowships together through Brother Tom all those years ago, and for the way in which you have all held us in your hearts and prayers. Words cannot describe the encouragement to me, our fellowship, and so many others here, including the church mobile training team, when we remember that you have so faithfully prayed for us over the years. So today we say the many blessings and fruits of our prayers and support. As I write this, I think of the hundreds of pastors and emerging church leaders that have been trained over the years by the mobile training team. Consequently, we have seen churches refreshed and renewed in their passion to take the gospel to their communities, with the result that there have been new church plants in villages that had no church before. Dear Brother Gary, we will never forget your love and deep heart for the Lord's work here and for your personal commitment to praying for us. Thank you also for your time as God's servant and for your faithfulness to those you serve and above all to the one you serve. I heard it once said that there's no such thing as a great Christian, but there is a humble Christian who God uses greatly. My brothers and sisters here joyfully join our brothers and sisters in your fellowship in thanking our God and Father for your servant heart, a heart which reflects the heart and love of Jesus to all who you meet. Our love in Christ from all your brothers and sisters in Danku, Moldova." Thank you.
You heard quite a bit, so I'll have to try and be briefer, but I'm so thankful for everyone that's here and many faces. Some of you, I've had connections with you for a long, long time. Some were quite young when I came 40 years ago. If you knock 40 years off, you'll see how old you were when it came compared to what you are now. And some of you I know have lost loved ones who were important to me in the 40 years here, and we miss them as well. It was good to have Val here. I've known Val and Elaine for about 50 years now. We were fellow pastors in the Liverpool City Mission. And Sue Trinier, who's next to them, 51 years ago, I went up to Glasgow with Jean to the Bible Training Institute, and Sue started at the same time. When you started there, you had to do studies, but you had to commit yourself to doing two evangelistic works. One of them, I said, I want to do door-to-door visitation, and they put me with a girl from Ballymena called Maisie Smith, and we went round the gobbles knocking on the doors. It was hilarious because she was quite broad at the time. Belfast, I was more Scouse than I am now. And they were Glaswegians. The gobbles was really Glaswegian. But we had a great time. And she went to serve God in the Congo and serve the God in the Congo till the day she died. And then the other thing I volunteered with my medical background, I would do the hospital visitation. They had a team that went and did hospital visitation. And Sue had a medical background, so we did that both together. Sue and Maisie, actually in Glasgow, would babysit for Mark. When me and Jean were going out in Glasgow, they came and babysat. And Sue served the Lord in Irian Jaya for a lifetime, really, until she recently retired. It's good also to have Linda here. Linda was at the church in A.C. Mitchell 48 years ago when I became the pastor. And she babysat for Mark, Lee and Carolyn when they were all young. And I could be wrong because God knows better than me. But of all the Christians in my whole time in the ministry, I think grew the most under my ministry, it was Linda's mum. The way she grew under the preaching of God's word was remarkable, and I still miss her to this very day. It's a bit like looking at all your faces, being able to attend your own funeral in some respects, you know. But I want to take the opportunity really to thank God for all the ways he's helped me, because you probably don't know the half. You see, God's helped me spiritually, obviously. You can't do anything in the work of the gospel without the help of God. When Jesus Christ said, without me, you could do nothing, he was telling the truth. Without God's help, we can do nothing. But I don't think many people appreciate how God has helped me physically in his mercy over all these years in the ministry. Most of you will know, not all, but when I was 17, I was diagnosed with the autoimmune disease, type 1 diabetes. And the treatment for that for the rest of your life is injections and watching your diet. In the 40 years just here, I've had 56,000 injections. That's how many times I've had to inject. Now, as a type 1 diabetic, in a normal week, as a minimum, and this really is a minimum, you'd have about 5 occasions where your blood sugar was extremely high or extremely low. And because of that, things like 4 hours sermon preparation in the morning, visiting in the afternoon, preaching on a Sunday morning or Sunday evening, teaching midweek, becomes almost, you would think, impossible. And on the basis of a 5 times minimum, that's 10,000 times in 40 years. It's no exaggeration to say this. God knows it's true because God did it. But on every one of those 10,000 occasions, I asked God to help me. And on every one, without exception, he helped me do the preparation. He helped me to do the visitation. He helped me to preach on the Sunday. And he helped me to teach in the week, no matter how physically bad I felt at that time. And another remarkable thing, which I can't even begin to explain, but when your blood sugar goes dangerously low, as it's likely to do with a type 1 diabetic, because you're injecting insulin into your body, your brain almost closes down. It, gets that confused because it's denied the glucose it needs to function. I've tried to explain it to people in this way. I was always good at mental arithmetic. 18, 17, 306. But when my sugar was low, if somebody said to me, what's 4 times 3? I would stand there looking at them. 4 times 3. And I couldn't give them an answer. Now, not least in the 40 years here, there have been about 50 occasions when on a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening or a Tuesday night, my blood sugar has gone seriously low when I was preaching. And at the end, because I've got no sense of what I've said at that time, I've often said to Jean, did that make any sense? Apart from when she was joking sometimes, she gave a different answer. But she would say, yeah, it's fine, it's fine. She said, you throw in one word that doesn't exist in the English language, but apart from that, now I can't even physically or medically explain that to you. Because at a time to be able to preach and teach for 20, 30, 40 minutes, when you couldn't even say what 4 times 2 or 4 times 3 is, I can't explain that. Apart from God helping and upholding and enabling by the Holy Spirit. It's the only explanation I have. So I want to thank God for the way directly he helped me spiritually and physically. But God helps you as well through people. And I want to thank God for everyone here, everyone ever, that God has used to pray for me, whether it was once or more. I'd like to thank God for all the people that have served Christ along with me in this church. Those have been church officers, those who have worked with children, those who have worked with the young people, those who have worked with the ladies, those who have done repairs, those who have cleaned and tidied, those who have given out evangelical literature. And I thank God too for the men who came and faithfully preached God's word when I wasn't here. And some of them are now in glory. And there's those of you here who were related to some of them, family of some of them. And I thank God also for those I was able to participate with in sharing the gospel throughout the world. And you've heard from many of them. I've spoken about Maisie that was in the Congo, Sue that was in Irian Jaya, Laura who was in Spain and Kenya and now works for the Lausanne Movement and Latin Link. Then there was Tony and Barbara Hines and Hickam Mostain in Carcassonne, David Koziel in Poland. There was Slavic there you've heard of in Moldova, Leon and Irene in Greece, and then various missionary societies like the Albanian Evangelical Mission and MAF and others. I thank God for that. I'm thankful to God too for all the people it's been a privilege to meet over the 40 years in the ministry. And my thoughts, I can be a bit morbid sometimes, my thoughts the last few days have been very much on those who I met and were special to me who are no longer here. And I thank God for his help in seeing them in the last moments and the days of their lives. Some of the things that people have said to me in the last hours of their lives stay with me forever. They were some of the kindest things. The things that people say then, there's no ulterior motive. They're at the very end of their life. And I'm so thankful for God's help in ministering to them and for God's help with the privilege and responsibility of taking the funeral services of so many people. And many of them are relatives of those of you who are here also. And I've got to thank God, of course, for the person who's helped me the most in the 40 years I've been here. That's Jean, obviously my wife, because without her help. Jean's one of those people. Jean's one of those people. You always know where you stand. You always know where you stand. The children all growing up used to always say, when mum says no, she means no. And believe me, she means no. She means no. Jean's one of those people too that it doesn't matter what's going on in life, you can't really feel sorry for yourself. you just get on with things. So if you've got type 1 diabetes, well, so what? Just get on with things, you know. If you've had a stroke, what, so what? She had, you know, just get on things. It backfired for an occasion, because when the children were little, they'd say, "Mum, I'm not well." You're fine. Off they'd go to school, and then the phone would go in the afternoon. "Can you come and get Mark? He's not well," you know. So it backfired in that way. She had to have a lot of patience. I'm not a guy that can switch off from the work, because I suppose I don't really want to. So, you know, she'd often say, "It's supposed to be a day off, and it's supposed to be your holidays." And she would know my mind was taken up with people in the church, the meetings in the church, and what was going on in the church. But she always had a lovely expression she come back with when I did this. She said, "You do my head in." Very Birkenhead on Merseyside, you know, "You do my head in." But, you know, I can't thank God enough for her love and help. The psalmist says it's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. And that's what I'm wanting to do, and help you to understand. And this is so, so important. If I've been able to help anyone at any time through the preaching and teaching of God's word, if I've been able to help anybody any time through praying for them, if I've been able to help anybody at any time through visiting them and speaking to them, and if I've been able to help anybody at any time through writing for them, I can't take an ounce of credit for that. I really can't. God is to have all the glory for that. Without God's help, whatever I did that helped anyone, I couldn't have done it. If you want to give credit to me, give me credit for all the mistakes I've made over the last 40 years. Because that really is down to me. But all the good that's been done, God is to have the glory for that. Well, let's sing another hymn. It's, "Lord Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the pleasures of sin I resign."
I
I'd like to begin by asking, that's a very unfair question, really, and an extremely difficult question to answer. But of all the people who have lived upon this earth, out of your family and your friends, which one of them has loved you the most? Which person has loved you the most during the whole of your lifetime? Is it your mum? Is it your dad? Is it a brother? Is it a sister? Maybe, if you're married, is it a husband or a wife? Is it a son or a daughter? Is it a granddaughter or a grandson? It's an unfair question because those relationships are somewhat different. And it's very hard to say who of them loved you the most. But whoever it was, whoever it is, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're somebody that's trusted in Jesus Christ to be forgiven all the ways you've displeased God in your life, you haven't lived as God requires, broken God's commandments. The reality is, of course, there's somebody who walked this earth who loves you more than whoever you imagine it is loved you the most. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you should know through God's word and by experience Christ's love for you. I remember as a youngster singing, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." If you're a Christian today, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what the Bible tells you. It says Jesus loved you and gave himself for you. It says Jesus loved you and washed you from your sins in his own blood. Quite remarkable. He gave himself to die on the cross. And the Bible says he bore your sins the way you've disobeyed God in your thoughts and your words and your actions. He bore those sins in his own body. And it says he, the righteous, sinless Son of God, suffered for your sin so that you may be forgiven those sins, an unrighteous sinner, and be brought back to God. So when he died on the cross, he was wounded for your transgressions. He was bruised for your iniquities. The Bible says something quite remarkable. It says he was a propitiation for your sins. He bore the wrath of God your sin deserves in your place when he suffered and died on the cross so that you don't receive the wrath of God your sin deserves on faith in him. But that isn't the end of it, of course. Then as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, in his love for you, he ever lives to make intercession for you. And the only reason that you will eventually arrive in heaven is because that's true. It says, he is able to save to the uttermost all who come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for you. And I could continue like that, but as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know from the word of God that Jesus Christ loves you, and you know that by experience. As we sang right at the beginning, you can say, my song is love unknown, my Saviour's love to me, love for the loveless shown, that I might lovely be. Oh, who am I that for my sake my Lord would take frail flesh and died? Or another hymn you could sing, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, oh, how wonderful my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Saviour's love for me. So as a Christian, a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know from the word of God and by experience of Christ's love for you. If you're not a Christian and not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have no knowledge of what I'm talking about. Up to the age of 16, if somebody had said to me, talking about Christians, of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ for them, I wouldn't have a clue what they were talking about. Because I didn't have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I hadn't been forgiven by God through him. I wasn't right with God through him. to talk of Jesus' love for somebody wouldn't have meant anything to me. But there's no reason, if that's true for you, that that should continue, apart from your own sinful unbelief. Because Jesus is more able and willing to save you than you are to come to him. That's an amazing truth. And you need to know the love of Jesus, what it is. Because there's another hymn, we sing, the love of Jesus, what it is, none but his loved ones know. So if you're a Christian now, you know what I'm talking about. But if you're not, you don't, it doesn't mean anything to you. But if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know from God's word of Christ's love for you, you know by experience his love for you, what I want to tell you is this, in fact, you don't really. What do I mean? There's a fullness to Christ's love for you, a breadth, a length, a depth, and a height, which is beyond your comprehension. Paul put it this way, as read to us, you know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. So as a Christian, you know, you understand, you appreciate how much Christ loves you. But you don't fully comprehend, you don't fully understand, you don't fully appreciate just how much the Lord Jesus Christ loves you. You don't know the half. He loves you far more than you ever imagined. And it's only when you get to glory you will realize that. It seems a contradiction, doesn't it, to say about knowing something that passes your knowledge. But if we're Christians, that's true. We know from the Bible, we know from experience, Christ's love for us in saving us. But we don't fully comprehend and understand how much he loves us. Being God the Son, it's an infinite love. Charles Wesley put it this way, amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? If I can take you back to when I was diagnosed with the diabetes, I can see to this present day, 10 o'clock in the morning, hut 17, that was the ward, the registrar coming and sitting on the end of the bed and saying, you're going home after lunch, pharmacy, getting everything ready, that'll be ready, and you can soon be off home. And then he painted such a picture that was frightening the life out of you. He said, you've got to be very careful. He said, if you're not very careful, he said, by your 30s or 40s, you'll have coronary disease and almost certainly have a heart attack. He said, if you're not very, very careful, you'll have circulatory disease and you'll have a limb amputated by the time you're 40 or in middle age. Then he said, if you're not very careful, you'll get diabetic retinopathy and you'll lose your sight, certainly before you're 50. And he said, if you're not very careful, you'll get diabetic neuropathy. That's where your nerves are damaged, so you have extreme pain at the extremities of your body. And that was his final message to me. I can see why he did it. You know, he's got this 17-year-old. I'm going to show this 17-year-old he's got to be careful, you know. But I hadn't long become a Christian, and for several months afterwards, I never imagined I'd ever reach 40. I was pretty convinced, you know, I was going to die as quite a young person. And at the same time, Pastor Holden, who was the pastor of the church when I became a Christian, was talking about a man called Robert Murray McShane, a Scottish preacher that God mightily used in the past. But what really caught my attention was, he said he died a couple of months before he was 30. And I thought, my word, God used this man in so many ways, and he didn't even reach 30 years of age. I've got to read about this man. So I got a biography that was written by a friend of his, Andrew Boner, on the life of Murray McShane. And as I read this particular book, I was struck by this man's love for the Lord Jesus Christ. But what also struck me was, he seemed to have an awareness, an understanding, a comprehension above most Christians of just how much the Lord Jesus Christ loved him. He seemed to grasp it in a way most Christians I'd met just didn't. But then what took me aback was, there was a hymn of his And it says this: when this passing world is done, when has sunk on radiant sun, when I stand with Christ on high, looking all life's history, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. And it really struck me that here was a man who obviously understood how much Christ loved him above most Christians. And yet he's saying, I don't begin to fully grasp and understand how much Christ loves me. And not until I get to glory will I understand that. If you want just a few words, Christian, to show you you've got no comprehension of how much Christ loves you, they're the words of the Lord Jesus. Listen to what he says in John 15. If you can get your head fully around this as a Christian, you're a better person than me. This is what Jesus said. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Now just think about that. Here's God the Son saying, as God the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. The eternal, constant love of God the Father for God the Son. I love you with that love. And when you die as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be totally overwhelmed, I'm sure, by the realization of just how much Christ loved you. You really will. Can you imagine you get to glory with Christ and how wonderful it is? And then realize in his love, he left that glory. He was rich. And for your sake, he became poor. He went to the earth you've just come from with all its sin and was born in humble circumstances and suffered and died on the cross for your sins in your place, that through him you could be rich in forgiveness of sins, in being a child of God, ultimately going to God's heaven. You see, when we die as Christians and we go to be with Christ in heaven and we're confronted by the holiness of God, we'll just understand how appalling our sins were. And we'll be staggered that Jesus Christ was willing to bear the wrath of God those sin deserved. And when you get to heaven, you'll realize in a way you never realized here how you'd have never got there if it hadn't been for Christ interceding on your behalf. And you'll realize in a way you never realized in this life that Jesus in his love does do all things well. There'll be many a time in your life as a Christian when things won't go well at all. They could be painful, hard, sad times, and you'll realize how much he loved and cared for you. You'll realize Jesus Christ really was touched with the feelings of your infirmities. What happened to you mattered to God the Son. What an incredible thing. You'll realize all of these things. And you'll realize, as McShane wrote, that though you knew from God's word and by experience how much Christ loved you, you'll realize it was far more than you ever thought. A divine, infinite, totally undeserved love. And if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you love the Lord Jesus because he first loved you. The Bible speaks of Christians not being Christians because they're born in a particular place. See, some people think if you're born in certain parts of the world, you're a Hindu. If you're born in other parts, you're a Muslim. If you're born in the Western world, Europe, United Kingdom, America, you're a Christian. The vast majority of people in Europe, the UK, and America aren't Christians. It's got nothing to do with where you're born. Nor does the Bible speak a Christian is somebody who's a Christian because they go to church, they sing God's praises, they read the Bible, they pray, they're baptized, they have taken communion. It says Christians do those things, but the Bible never says people are Christians because they do those things. And when Paul writes his letters to Christians, he describes them in lots of different ways. But the one that always strikes me is the one that was read at the end of Ephesians. He describes a Christian as somebody who loves the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Without love for the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not a Christian. The fact you may have been brought up in a Christian family, you may come to this church, you may read your Bible, you may take communion, you may have been baptized. If you don't love the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not a Christian. Every genuine Christian loves the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't all love him to the same degree, but they all have this in common. They love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. It's not a simulated love. It's a genuine love. So much so that a Christian would say with Paul, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Because when you die as a Christian, you're going to go to be with the one you said that you love. Now, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, who love the Lord Jesus in sincerity, we would use the words of that hymn. "Lord, it is my chief complaint that my love is weak and faint. Yet I love thee and adore. Oh, for grace to love thee more." You know, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you should love the Lord Jesus Christ more than you actually do. But here's the thing. We've already seen you don't fully know how much the Lord Jesus Christ loves you. So if you're aware you should love him more than you do because of the awareness you've had of his love for you, what about the fact you don't fully understand that he loves you even more than you think? So your love for the Lord Jesus Christ and my love for the Lord Jesus Christ as Christians is very, very weak and very, very faint when you recognize what he has done for you. And as Christians, we all need to love the Lord Jesus Christ more. The more you love the Lord Jesus Christ, the more as a Christian, everything will spiritually fall into place. It really will. The more you love the Lord Jesus Christ, the more holy you'll be. Because Jesus says, "If you love me, you'll obey my commandments." The more you love the Lord Jesus Christ, the more you'll love the Word of God and want to read it and know it and believe and obey it. Because Jesus said, "Search the Scriptures, for they testify of me, the one that you say you love." The more you love the Lord Jesus Christ, the more you'll want to pray, because the one you love says we ought always to pray and not to faint. He tells us to watch and pray. The more you love the Lord Jesus Christ, the more you'll love other Christians. Because the one you love tells you to love one another as I have loved you. The more you love the Lord Jesus Christ, the more you will have a loving concern looking at the compassion of Christ for those who don't love him in sincerity. You will be concerned for them, and you'll long that they might know him as you do. And the more you love the Lord Jesus Christ, Christian, the easier it'll be for you when you come to die. Because yes, you're going to leave people that you love, but you're going to go and be with somebody that loved you more than any of those people. You're going to be with somebody that actually gave you those people who you loved and loved you. You see, if I was to sum up what my aim has been over 40 years, I suppose it is that people who don't love the Lord Jesus Christ would trust in him to be forgiven all the ways they've disobeyed God, because as they do so, they will love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. And for those who are Christians, that they would love the Lord Jesus Christ more. Peter, Jesus' disciple, on one particular occasion says to Jesus, "You know all things. Thou knowest I love thee." So right now, as we're all sat here, the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, knows if you don't love him. He knows that. It may be because you've not got saving faith in him. You haven't really trusted in him to save you a sinner. You haven't really received him as your Savior and Lord. And he knows that. Over the 40 years I've been here, there have been many people, and you love them, and they died loving the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. But there have been people where that wasn't true. I can't tell you how grievous that is. I really can't. It's one of the most painful things I've experienced in my whole life, of people dying without loving Christ in sincerity. And if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, remember these words of the hymn. Was it for sins that I had done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. You see, I want to press upon you again, Christian. Love so amazing, so divine, really does demand your soul, your life, and your all. That's what a Christian is about. A personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved you and gave himself for you. And as a result, you love him in sincerity. Well, let's sing the hymn that I referred to by Robert Marie McShane. When this passing world is done, when has sunk the radiant sun, and I shall stand with Christ on high, looking all life's history, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. Almighty God, we pray that by your grace in maybe each one of us, even found here this afternoon, would love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. And we pray if we do, you would give us grace to love him far, far more than we actually do. We pray that you receive our thanks for the food and you would bless it to our bodies. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, both now and forevermore. Amen.